This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hola, Tucson, and welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Jeff Ronstadt without my big brother, Fred, who is... knee-deep in things to do down on 4th Avenue, either getting ready for the big Christmas street fair, and Fred being the executive director down there. He and his trusty sidekick, Kurt, and all the great people on 4th Avenue are getting ready for the big show. So we hope you all go down and participate in that next weekend. Should be a lot of fun, especially if the weather holds. But I digress. I am here with my lovely wife, Tiana.
Hey, y'all.
And folks, we are here talking about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a wonderful place to live. Check us out at fredandjeff.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter if Fred ever tweets. And you can also download old shows for, Fred likes to call it, this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. So, Tiana, what's going on?
I mean, as we all know, there's always lots going on.
Lots.
And especially with this amazing weather, you can really enjoy a lot of things. Today, right now, at 2 o'clock, Laszlo, one of our favorite,
Laszlo Berish, that's right,
favorite conductors, is having the Foothills Phil Winter Concert today at the Catalina Foothills at 2 o'clock. And tickets still are available if you're out and about and want to go by there, as well as St. Michael's is having their All Angels Holiday International Bazaar.
Super
and
fun.
Yeah, it was really, it's
yeah,
just
we were
a
there
beautiful
a little earlier.
Place to go and see some of the international things that people are doing outside of our wonderful United States to help others. So that bazaar is going until 3 o'clock today. So again, if you're out and about, those are two things you could really just do right this afternoon.
Right. And we had, and you folks that ran in the Tucson Marathon this morning, welcome back. We hope you're going to be able to walk for the rest of the day. And today also is the first day of Hanukkah.
Yes. Tonight at sundown.
That's
yes.
Right. So all
happy
of our
Hanukkah.
Friends, happy Hanukkah out there. Starting today, going through the 14th, the Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Very cool. So folks, have a great Hanukkah out there. Tons of stuff that's happening. Remember, folks, this first segment is always brought to you by our friends at TucsonHappenings.com. Check them out. Great information on all the goings and comings here in Tucson. We, last night, had our first black tie Christmas party at Skyline Country Club. Boy, it was beautiful there.
Yes,
with
yes.
The Centurions.
Yes.
And it was fun to see all the fellows roll out in their... in their costume. We had a Superman and a Batman and a Mr. Incredible. And
why were
pirate.
People dressed like that?
Because the theme for the 2016 Centurion event is Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
Yeah, so
folks, time to start thinking about what you're going to wear.
Absolutely. May is right around the corner. So we have tons of stuff. So let me start over here with the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Christmas Tree Lot. Folks, if you haven't bought your tree yet, head on over to Broadway in Columbus. It's 4330 East Broadway. We'll probably be out there this afternoon or tomorrow to get our Christmas tree. It's right next to the Girl Scout building, and they'll be out there selling Christmas trees, supporting the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus all the way until the 22nd. They're open from noon till 9 p.m. Mondays through Thursdays, and 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Fridays, and Saturdays and Sundays till 7:30. So get out there and support the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. And as a matter of fact, they also have their big holiday concert, which is next Sunday. They've got a 3 o'clock matinee and a 7 p.m. show. And we've got two sets of tickets. So we have four tickets, two sets of two tickets for the holiday concert at Crowder Hall. And we'll be giving those away on the big show in a little bit. So stay tuned for that.
And if you are like us and enjoy some of these traditions that we always do. We always go to a Nutcracker. So you have two to choose from. One is sponsored by our own professional ballet. This is the 30th anniversary of the Nutcracker at U of A Centennial Hall, December 11th, 12th, and 13th. And then we have the Southwestern Nutcracker, which is put on by our Tucson Regional Ballet, featuring the Tucson Symphony at the TCC Music Hall, also December 12th and 13th. Another favorite of ours is going to the Luminary Lights.
That's right.
And we have two of our favorite places that sponsor Luminary Nights Lights, or Lights Nights. One is at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, and the other is at Tohono O'Toole. So if you've never done that, I would really encourage you to put that on your list of things to do.
Absolutely. And later on in the show, honey, we're going to be talking to Homer Thiel, who's the president of the Tucson Presidio Trust, and they've got a big luminary night, too. So luminaries are part of our culture here in the Old Pueblo. Folks, get the family out there and check it out, because it really, really is a great way to get into the Christmas spirit. We've also got today, happening today, we have the 22nd Annual International Holiday Bazaar. We talked about that at St. Michael's. We have the U of A Vets Alumni Club Pearl Harbor Day dedication. That was this morning at the Student Union. So if you were there, I hope you had a ball. La Fiesta de Tumacacari is happening today until 4 o'clock down in Tumacacari. So it's free, and it's a celebration of the many cultures that were historical, that were historically and are presently associated with the Santa Cruz Valley. The fiesta features around 50 food and crafts booths, continuous live entertainment on the stage, kids' activities, super fun at the Tumacacori National Historical Park down south in the Tubac Chamber of Commerce has got more information, but that's happening today. We also have the Oro Valley Holiday Festival of Arts, which is happening at the Oro Valley Marketplace up north. La Fiesta de Guadalupe is at the De Grazia Gallery of the Sun on North Swan. The Oaxacan Wood Carving Show and Sale happening at the National Park Store up on North Vistoso Village Drive in Oro Valley. There's so much. The 15th Annual Sugar Plum Tea is happening. I think that's happening right now, isn't
it? Right. There was so we should give a shout out to our friends there. That's at 11 today. It was a tea seating, and then another one, I believe, at 3 down at University Marriott.
And
so
you've done that before, haven't you?
I have. It's become such a tradition. Generationally, so taking my mother and our daughter, and they actually bring out the ballerinas from the actual Nutcracker.
Super fun.
Again, from our professional ballet.
Super fun. Well, thanks for sitting in for Fred today.
Thank you.
We left Mia at home with Grandma making gingerbread houses.
Yes, another tradition.
Another tradition. And, of course, Larry is hanging out with his cousin James online. And Grandpa's probably wondering where the scotch is hidden.
Probably. That's your shout-out, Grandpa Ron. That's your shout-out.
Yeah, thanks, Grandpa Ron. So, lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff. Funny story, folks. So, Larry, our son, our 11-year-old, has a science project that he's doing. And Tiana, why don't you share with folks listening what you've suggested Larry's science project should be?
So I said, what if this was last Christmas, as we watch children go up to get their Santa picture? I just was observing, you know, who cries? Does a boy cry more than a girl, or vice versa? And I put that out as the hypothesis. And Larry has concluded he believes that girls cry more. So as we've now been going to the Park Place Mall, watching and marking down scientifically whether girls cry more or boys cry more. So more to come on what the science fair project comes. We already have some pretty funny photos, though, with girls trying to get off Santa's lap and boys coming with their list. So more to come on just the gender of Christmas, if you will, of who wants to be on Santa's lap and who cries more.
Right. And today, folks, if you're out looking for Santa Claus, he's at the main gate down at the U of A. So Santa Claus is coming to town from 1 to 4 p.m. today at the main gate. Super fun. Folks, all these things you can find at TucsonHappenings.com, including the holiday classic Season of Lights at 2 o'clock at the Flandreau Planetarium. Traces the many festivals of light across time and cultures. Super duper fun to check that out. Of course, my favorite is the Tucson Ukulele Meetup between 2 and 5. I still got to get over there. I haven't been over there yet. And then a Christmas concert, Marion Bright at the United Methodist Church. And then you've got the 15th annual Sugar Plum Tea again at 3 o'clock. Tons of things to do out there, folks. Stick around. We've got lots more fun here on the Fred and Jeff Show, and we'll be right back. This bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Fred and Jeff Show, where we talk about the people, places, events, culture, and history that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a great place to live. Check us out at fredandjeff.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or you can download this tome of wisdom and entertainment, as my lovely brother Fred likes to say, off of iTunes or TuneIn Radio. So joining me today in the studio is my lovely wife, Tiana. How are you, Tiana?
I'm wonderful.
Good. We had two more things that we missed that we want to talk about before we move to our friend Homer. And what did you want to go with?
I just wanted to remind folks of the Angel Ball, which will be coming up next weekend on December 12th at the Westin La Paloma. If you've never attended, since 1983, our angels have raised more than $23 million giving back to our amazing community, which makes our community unique and great. More information can be found at angelcharity.org.
Right. Very nice. Thanks, babe. And also, folks, I forgot to mention that cognitively based compassion training, it's a way to meditate. The classes starting in January, and these classes are being done by our friends at the University of Arizona College of Behavioral Sciences. The classes start Tuesdays starting January 12th, and they go till March 1st. You definitely want to check this out. Google CBCT at the U of A. And they're also having a study, so you can participate in a study about meditation through the University of Arizona's Department of Psychology. And they're taking applicants to participate in the study. There's conversations on compassion next year starting, it's January 20th at TMC. And you can meditate with us at the Art Museum Thursday, December 10th, this coming Thursday at the U of A Museum of Art. You can bring a friend, and there will be events all day that will be leading to a meditation at 2 o'clock. Everyone's welcome. Beginners, if you've been meditating your whole life, you're more than welcome. So please check it out at the U of A Museum of Art. So let's get on with the big show. Today in the studio with us is our friend Homer Thiel, who's president of the Tucson Presidio Trust. Good morning, Homer.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. So during the break, and actually before the show started, we were chatting a little about who you are and what you like to do. And why don't you share with our listeners where you're from?
I grew up in Traverse City, Michigan. I came out to Arizona to go to grad school at ASU.
What?
Don't boo. Got a master's degree in anthropology, archaeology, and I work as an archaeologist for a company here in town doing archaeological projects throughout Southern Arizona.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah.
So what can you share with us what kind of projects you're working on now?
I'm finishing up the archaeological project that took place at Broadway Boulevard and Fifth Avenue, where the new hotel is going to be. That was a city block occupied beginning in the 1880s. And one of the interesting things we found was a portion of the house of Tucson's first fire chief, a guy named Jack Bolin. And in his, ironically enough, his barn burned down in 1898, and they threw all the burned materials from that barn into his well. And when we dug up the well, we found his uniform buttons from his fire department uniform. And in another pit nearby, we found his badge. And the cool thing is we have a photograph of him wearing his uniform and his badge.
With the buttons?
Yes.
That's very cool.
He was a real interesting character. At one time, he was married to three different women at the same time and got caught. And then after he died, the second and first wives show up, both of them claiming the estate. And eventually, the first wife was the one that got it. Because the second wife was a prostitute, and they didn't like that.
That gets back to the little ABC news piece that was on before the show started.
Exactly.
Goodness. That's very cool. So how deep did you guys have to go down in that well to find those artifacts?
We used a backhoe, so we went down about 16 or 17 feet. We would dig it out in 1 foot levels and then screen the dirt in those levels to recover the artifacts.
That's amazing. And so the wells back then were about 16 feet deep?
Well, we had to stop. That's as deep as the backhoe arm could reach. Mm, and it probably went down another 20 feet. We just don't know. But, you know, you can only dig what you can dig safely.
So the question I have about doing these archaeological studies when folks are wanting to build big hotels or anything on top of them, what happens if you actually find something of value? I mean, finding the buttons and the badges and that cool history, it's awesome. But what would happen if you would have found Hohokam ruins or...
Well, before a project starts, we have to have a permit from the Arizona State Museum that tells what happens to all the artifacts that we find. And if it's private property, we have to have a deed of gift that gives the artifacts to the museum. There are some cases where the private owners want to keep the artifacts. I haven't had to deal with that much. But most of the items end up at the Arizona State Museum in their collections.
Oh, that's up. So that's where the buttons and badge are headed.
Yes, and eventually the hotel is going to have a display in their lobby of some of the cool things that we found so that people can come in and see them.
The history of what was on that site prior to the hotel.
Yes.
Very cool. Yeah, we love that whole history of Southern Arizona, the history of Tucson. And so when do you think that barn burned down? It was after the 1880s?
It was in February 24th, 1898. Because there's newspaper articles that talk about it. And they describe how the water pressure wasn't good that day. And so the fire department couldn't put the fire out.
The water pressure wasn't good that day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Very cool. Very cool. So now your work as an archaeologist has led you to get involved with the Tucson Presidio.
Yes. The Tucson Presidio Trust is a nonprofit group that formed in the mid-1980s by an architect named Lewis Hall, who wanted to rebuild portions of the old Spanish fort downtown. And in 1999, the Rio Nuevo project took place, where the voters voted money to do cultural attractions downtown. And one of those was the Tucson Presidio. And I led the archaeological excavations that took place prior to the construction of the park that's downtown at 196 North Court Avenue on the block north of the old Pima County Courthouse. My group, the Tucson Presidio Trust, manages that park, and we're open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesdays through Sundays. And we act as docents. We take people on tours to see the attractions within the park. And we put on Living Histories events on October through April on second Saturdays. And we have children's programs where children come in and learn what life was like in the old Spanish Presidio. They drill as soldiers. They wash clothes by hand. They grind corn on manos and matates. And they lasso these little cow sculptures.
That's awesome.
So... The group does a lot of these historical activities, and it's kind of surprising how few people know that we're down there.
Well, let's take a step back then. So the Presidio was in use when?
Okay, a guy named Hugo O'Connor, an Irishman employed by the Spanish military, picked the site on August 20th, 1775. The next year, about 60 soldiers moved up from Tubac to build the fort.
Okay, so there was a Presidio in Tubac.
Yes.
And then these guys moved north.
Yes, the Hugo O'Connor decided the site down in Tubac wasn't a good location. So the soldiers came up. They first built a wooden palisade, and then there was a big Apache attack in 1782, and then they rapidly completed the adobe-walled fortress.
While the arrows were flying?
Sometimes, because the Apache often raided Tucson, you know, and looking for cattle and sheep and horses and captives. And the Spanish retaliated as well. I mean, it was a back-and-forth sort of thing, fighting constantly for about maybe 20 years, and then things sort of calmed down for a while. What we are, the Tucson Presidio Park has is we've rebuilt the corner tower. There was a tower on two of the corners, and the walls. There is soldiers and civilians quarters where you can see what a house looked like from that time period. We have heritage fruit trees that are date back to the early 1800s.
Heritage fruit trees.
There's a project where people are going around and finding the oldest fruit trees in Arizona and Sonora and grafting them and bringing those back to life. So you can see a lot of those over at the Mission Garden at the base of A Mountain, where there's a group there that has rebuilt the walls of the Mission Garden and have a lot of plantings. We just have a handful of those trees in our park.
And so what kind of fruit are those trees giving?
We have lemon, quince, which is a kind of apple-like fruit.
Oh, yeah, we love quince jelly. Yeah.
There's an apricot and an orange. And in the courthouse, in the courtyard of the park, there is a fig tree that's over 100 years old.
Wow.
And we know it was there because we dug up an old privy pit next to it that was filled with old dried up figs that had been thrown away.
Oh, that's crazy. So 1775, mm-hmm. These guys roll up here. How long did it take them to complete the...
It was completed in, I think, May or June of 1783. The fort was about 700 feet to a side. Where the YMCA is downtown, that's one area, corner of it, and over the other corner is over at City Hall. And there were about 500 people that lived inside the fort. You know, it was the northernmost Spanish fort on their frontier, and it was here both to protect the area against Apache raids, but also to sort of stake their claim because the British and Russian were coming down the California coast looking for new places to colonize.
And so they figure this is a good place. Hugo O'Connor thought it was a good place to keep everybody at bay and keep the Spanish territory intact.
Yes.
Cool. So we only have a couple minutes before the end of the... We have to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, but can you tell us how you guys know... I mean, are there writings, there are drawings of the Presidio as it was?
We rely on eyewitness accounts by people that were born in the Presidio that were interviewed in the 1910s and 20s. There's the archaeological excavations that we've taken place throughout the downtown area, have found portions of the fort. And then there's evidence from other forts that were similar in scale and size.
So they usually had a blueprint of something and recreated that.
Yes.
How close is it to the fort down in Tubac?
The problem with the fort in Tubac was that it wasn't built in the standardized style that they were supposed to, and so the Hugo O'Connor looked at it and said this isn't a safe fort for the soldiers and civilians. So that's why he picked a new place to build a new fort.
Interesting. That's very cool. Very cool. So you guys have been around since Rio Nuevo, which was, what, about 10 years ago?
The park opened up in 2007.
Okay.
And it was initially operated by the city of Tucson, and now my group has taken over operation.
That's very fun. So when we come back, we want to talk about more of what you guys have going on. You've got your big show that you guys are doing. We also want to talk about more of the programs that you offer there and more of the history of the Presidio and how folks locally can get involved, go down, get some culture, and see, you know, and see the history of Tucson. So folks, stick around. We'll be right back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
Hola, Tucson. This is Jeff Ronstadt here on The Fred and Jeff Show with my lovely wife, Tiana.
Hey, y'all.
And we are here talking about the people, places, events, culture, and history that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a wonderful place to live. Check us out at fredandjeff.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter, or download past shows. Great information if you're new to town, or if you're like me and Fred, you've been here your whole life. There's always something to learn about how great of a community we live in. So, starting off this bottom of the hour, I want to give away two tickets to the 2015 holiday concert for the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. This is next Sunday, December 13th, at Crowder Hall. I've got two sets of two for the first two callers that call us at 428-5104. That's 428-5104. Are going to get to go to see the fabulous Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus at the holiday concert next week. So give us a ring and we'll get you those tickets. And with us in the studio today is our friend Homer Thiel, who is the president of the Tucson Presidio Trust.
Hello.
Homer, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. And we started off this show talking a lot about the Presidio and the trust and how you guys came about. But now in the second half of the show, we kind of want to talk more about your programming and the people that make the park, the Presidio San Agustin del Tucson, so much fun. Tiana had a great comment during the break where you were talking about Foxfire.
Yeah, so I'm originally from the Southeast, and there is an amazing place, Foxfire, that it sounds like the Presidio is doing what Foxfire is doing in the Southeast, exposing children to colonial life, that you're doing it right here in Southern Arizona. So let's hear more about that.
Sure. Well, so our park is at 196 North Court Avenue in downtown Tucson on the block north of the old Pima County Courthouse. It's open Wednesdays through Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's a $3 charge for adults. Kids under 15 get in for free. We have a number of different programs. We have docents on duty during most of those days. And if you come to visit the park, they will take you and give you a tour and explain the various things in the park. Among other things that you can see at the park is a 2,000-year-old pit structure built during the early agricultural period.
A pit structure?
One of the things that people don't know is that the downtown area, the core downtown area where all the government buildings are, was a prehistoric village going back several thousand years. And at various times, archaeologists have found their houses underneath the sidewalks and streets and lawns and even under former buildings. And so one of the things that we have in the park is a pit structure. And if you go into the gift shop / museum building, there is a display of some of the artifacts found at the park going back to 2,000 years up into the early 1900s.
Okay, Homer, this is probably a silly question, but what exactly is a pit structure?
The people back in the prehistoric day, for most time periods, would dig a shallow foundation pit, sort of like a basement, but not that deep. They would erect posts for the walls and the roof of the structure and then cover it with branches and bundles of reeds and then pack mud on top. And these houses would keep people cooler in the summer. And when you built a fire inside during the winter, it would keep it warmer as well.
And so that's how the prehistoric folks lived
in
this part of the world.
Yes. Eventually they started building above ground structures. But that wasn't until maybe like 1300 AD or so.
Wow. So downtown Tucson, or in this region, has been continuously habitated for how long?
We have evidence for over 4,000 years of habitation. We don't know if it was continuous, but we know that over 4,000 years ago, people were living in small settlements along the Santa Cruz River.
Wow. So there's been somebody here for 4,000 years.
Yes.
And you figured by now we could have gotten the traffic right.
Oh, they had problems with traffic back then as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, horses running into each other.
Yeah, and horses running away. If you read the old newspaper articles, runaways were a big problem.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, now the thing that I think is fantastic, as Tiana was talking about your kids program, is one of the things that you have these kids do is understand what it's like to do chores back in the colonial times.
So we have two programs. One's called Friday at the Fort, where school kids come in groups of 60 to 80 school kids, and they run through a series of sort of exercises, things that people would do back then. It starts out by raising the flag. All the kids are dressed up as soldiers, and they go through a series of tasks. They spin cotton into thread. They make little adobe bricks. They practice writing with a pen and ink, you know, dipping the pen into the ink. It's a quill pen. One of the things that I suggested they do is wash clothes by hand, because, of course, most kids have no idea. And the kids have to carry the water buckets using the yoke that's over the shoulders mm-hmm. to the wash tub, pour it in, and then wash it and then hang it up to dry. Because most kids, of course, have no idea that people used to do things that way. We also fire up our Orno oven and make bread, and we make tortillas on our comal griddle.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So where was the water coming from back in the 1700s?
Well, the Santa Cruz River used to flow year-round here in Tucson up until the 1920s. and they had canals running out from the river to water fields, and there was a canal running right along the base of the terrace where the fort was built. And the women would go down, and they had some big rocks right there, and they'd wash their clothes there while the soldiers guarded them. And there was probably one or two wells inside the fort, and the water table was relatively high, maybe 20 or 30 feet below the terrace level. And if you go out in the floodplain, it was only a couple of feet below the ground level.
That's awesome. You guys also have a historic hats of Arizona.
Yeah, we have a trunk filled with about 16 or 17 different hats worn by everyone from prehistoric Native Americans up into the 20th century. And each of the hats comes with a little card describing a person that would have worn that hat, as well as a history of the hat. And that goes out to the various classrooms, and the kids try on the hats, and they write little stories about the people that wore them. That's one of our favorite programs that we have. And then we also do things for adults. We have a saloon and salon lecture once a month where people at the La Cocina restaurant, which we are linked with.
Oh, we love La Cocina restaurant. It's a great place.
We have various historians come in and give talks. I gave one on Halloween on the abandoned cemeteries of Tucson, and that was a very popular one.
Wait, hold on. The abandoned cemeteries of Tucson?
Yes.
Give us a little bit of that.
Well, through time, land is more valuable than cemeteries, and so the old cemeteries ended up being used for residential blocks or streets.
Would they dig the remains up and move them someplace else?
Well, back in about 2007 or 2008, for the new courthouse building, they dug up over 1,000 graves from that cemetery.
Wow.
And I had no idea.
Moved most of them over to All Faith Cemetery on the east side of town. The Presidio Cemetery is underneath Alameda Street and the adjoining areas. And then the southwest corner of Stone and Speedway was the Court Street Cemetery, and that was used from 1875 to 1909. And underneath all those houses in that neighborhood, there's as many as 90 to 100 graves, and many of them, like poltergeists, were not moved.
Oh, my God.
Like poltergeists. I like how you said that.
Yeah,
or not moved.
Cool. That's very cool. And so back in the day, they just plowed, paved them over and built something on top.
Sure. And occasionally they would dig a new sewer trench and hit bodies.
Oh, my goodness.
So one of the things that, as an archaeologist, I'm sometimes called to do is go and excavate historic graves to remove them from that area.
No kidding. And that's got to be a lot of fun to do.
It is very interesting. You're dealing with people, so we always do it with a great deal of respect and
sure.
care.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. So, folks, we got to take another break. Last break of the hour. We'll be right back to finish up with Homer Thiel and the Presidio Trust at here in Tucson. So stick around. We'll be back with a lot more. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
Oops. Hey. Hola, folks. This is Jeff Ronstadt here on the Fred and Jeff Show. Thanks and welcome back. I'm here with my lovely wife, Tiana.
Hey, y'all.
There's always that little pause.
I like that pause. I have to get myself ready.
There you go. And so we're talking about the people, places, events, history, and culture that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a fantastic place to live. Check us out on fredandjeff.com, like us on Facebook, or subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. And with us today in the studio is Homer Thiel, the president of the Tucson Presidio Trust.
Hello.
Hello, Homer. Thanks for sticking with us on that break. Homer, we've got a little bit of time left, and there are three things that we want to talk about before we let you go. The first one is the Turquoise Trail. Tell us about the Turquoise Trail.
The Turquoise Trail is a turquoise line that runs throughout the downtown Tucson area. We have a map that you can actually download on our website, TucsonPresidio.org, and if you follow it, it's like the Freedom Trail in Boston. If you follow it around, you can look at the map. There's little descriptions of the various historical sites. And it's very popular. We hand out somewhere between 30,000 and 40,000 of those maps every year at the visitor center and other places. And it's very common to see people walking along the route with their map in place.
How long is the trail?
It's a couple miles, I think.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Is that the trail that they walk at the Meet Me at Maynard's? Is that, do they follow the turquoise trail?
Honestly, I don't know. I know that the Mayor Rothschild has done some events along the trail as a part of his Get Active sort of program that he's advocating.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
Awesome. How many times, honey, have we been downtown and you look down and you see that turquoise line and you wonder, what is
what
that?
What is that? I know.
You know, like, some people think it's that. For the St. Patrick's folks, but it's actually the Turquoise Trail.
Yes, and the first stop is the Tucson Presidio Park at 196 North Court Avenue. And if you come into the park with your little brochure map guide, I think there might even be a little coupon on the back maybe to get a discount on admittance and the gift shop.
So you hand out between 30 and 40,000 of these maps a year.
Yes.
And you have any idea how many get downloaded?
I don't have a clue about that.
So they're just, that is a fantastic family resource. You know, take the family downtown and follow that turquoise trail and find out all kinds of history that happened downtown.
Yeah, it opens up the past to the present. So you walk along and there'll be a building and you can look at the thing and learn about what that building was about.
Very cool. And what's the website again?
TucsonPresidio.org, I think.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And then the other question I had for you before we get into your big event is La Gente.
So we have somewhere between 40 and 60 people that volunteer at the park during living history events. We dress them up in period clothing. So we have soldiers in their uniforms. They have their muskets and they fire their muskets. We send off people to cannon school in Florida.
Cannon school.
So they learned how to properly fire our cannon. We have a reproduction cannon. And several times during our living history events and also during the Friday at the Fort children's events, we fire the cannon. We have women dressed up in costumes, spinning cotton and wool, weaving, making tortillas, butter churning as well. And sometimes we make candles, sometimes we make soap. It all depends. And then we have people dressed up in territorial period costumes as well. That's what I usually wear is my top hat and my little tuxedo coat.
So you're a carpetbagger? What are you doing?
I guess I would be a carpetbagger because I was, Tucson was sort of a southern area, and my ancestors came up from north, so yeah.
Very cool. All right, now you guys have got a big event coming up.
Yes. On next Saturday, on December 12th, from 6 to 9 p.m., we're having our Luminaria Night. It's a celebration of light. So people can come, and we'll have the area lit up with both luminarias and little lights. We're going to fire the cannon at night, and the difference from between firing the cannon during the day, you see the smoke. At night, you see the big flame coming out. And here's one of our secrets. We use coffee creamer and oatmeal, I think, in the cannon, because, of course, we can't fire a cannonball.
So you're firing oatmeal balls.
Yes. We're going to have three different musicians, flute playing, a guitar playing, and an organist playing carols. We're going to be making tortillas and fresh bread and Mexican hot chocolate and cookies.
Now, Mexican hot chocolate, that has tequila in it?
No. We haven't got our liquor license yet, so it's just chocolate with a little bit of cinnamon, I think, thrown in.
Nice.
And then we're going to have a children's craft area where kids can make pipe cleaner ornaments, snowflakes, paper chains, the things that we did when I was a kid in school. And we'll be reading The Night Before Christmas in both Spanish and English. And other people will be doing other things. So it's a really fun event. So it's at 196 North Court Avenue, December 12th from 6 to 9 p.m.
What time does the cannon go off?
The cannon's going to go off at 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30.
Oh, great. Multiple times.
Yes, and then besides that, there will be soldiers firing their muskets at various times.
So are you going to have Apaches attacking, or are they just...
No, we haven't found any Apache people that want to do living history for us yet. So, yeah.
Right. I got it. Oh, that's okay. I understand. That's very fun. And this is part of what you guys started in October?
Yes. We have living history every second Saturday from October through April. So we have various themed days. So this one is going to be, of course, Luminaria Festival. In February, we do one where we have people from all different time periods. Because that's, of course, it happens around Tucson or Arizona's birthday. And then I think in March we're doing one family history where we have people, including myself, you can come in and if you have family history questions, we'll do research for you.
Oh, that really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Now, where are you getting all that information from?
Oh,
no,
there's so much information on the internet through Ancestry.com or the LDSFamilySearch.org websites. It's doing genealogy has gotten real easy in the computer age.
And that's something you like to do in your spare time?
Yes, it's one of my hobbies.
So Ancestry.com, that's not just a way to get you to pay $10 to...
There's just immense number of records on that. I use it a lot for work because I do research on people that lived here in Tucson. And it's getting rarer and rarer that you actually have to go to the library because there's so much now being scanned. The LDS Church's plan is to have all the records scanned online. Mm-hmm.
And it's all good stuff. I mean, it's accurate information.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's original records. Yeah. So they can lie on the original records, which they sometimes do, but, you know, you have to figure things out.
Right. That's awesome. So who have you done that on your family?
I've done that on my family. I've also traced every single person that lived in Tucson prior to 1856. And that is a book that's eventually going to be published here, several thousand people. The records, there's a lot of records that got lost here in Tucson. When the Mexican soldiers left in March of 1856, they took all the record books. And one of the soldiers that eventually came back to Tucson described how they tore up the Catholic burial, baptism, and marriage books and made cigarettes out of them because they were made out of paper.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
that's amazing. So all that history is lost?
As far as we know, it's never been found.
Wow. And the soldiers left when, 18?
March of 1856.
And that was after the Battle of Puebla?
Well, Arizona had become part of, southern Arizona, part of the United States with the Gadsden Purchase.
Right.
And there were a couple of years where it just sort of trailed on. And then finally the Mexican government said, okay, it's time for you to leave.
So the French had already been kicked out of Mexico.
Yes.
And okay, and so this was just the progression of becoming part of the United States.
Yes.
From the Gadsden Purchase.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing stuff. You know, did you ever think as a young man growing up in Michigan that you would be out here discovering all these amazing things in Tucson?
I've always known that I wanted to be an archaeologist ever since like fourth grade or so. But, of course, I didn't know that I would end up in Tucson. And back in 1992, my boss, Bill Doley, called me up and said, hey, you want to come work for me? And so I worked for the same company here in town ever since.
Wow.
But, you know, I think when most people think of archaeologists, they think of dinosaur bones.
That's paleontology.
Yeah. Well, or they maybe they think of going to, Egypt, the Egyptian ruins.
There are people that do that, but most archaeology in the United States is done by contract archaeologists like me. Prior to construction projects. We have a lot of federal, state, county, and city of Tucson laws and regulations that require archaeology to be done before development takes
place.
No
kidding. That's crazy. So it's happening all over the country, probably all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
And how has it happened? This is something that's always intrigued me. We find things that are 15, 20, 30 feet under what we stand on today.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get 15, 20, 30 feet below us today?
So, for instance, at Ina Road, there's the sewage plant that's there. We did an archaeology project there and got down about 20 feet below the ground surface. We're finding layers and layers of village. In that case, the flooding of the Santa Cruz River would bring in sand and dirt and dump it on top of their area they were living on, and they would come back after the flood had stopped and rebuild. And that's one way. Also, just dust blowing. In downtown Tucson, whenever they demolished adobe buildings, they just knocked over the buildings and all the bricks, you know, broke up and covered the area. In some places in downtown Tucson, there's about 6 or 7 feet of archaeology before you get down to the sterile soil.
No kidding. And it's all just built on top of each other, mm-hmm. them knowing that it was there and just built on top of each other.
I suspect like the Spanish didn't know or care that there were prehistoric stuff mm-hmm. there. They just built on top.
Right. It was just a good place to live.
Yes.
You've got the Santa Cruz running bank to bank.
Yep.
So, wow, that's amazing stuff. What is it that our listeners can do? How is it that they can take the most advantage of what you guys are offering at the Presidio?
So you come down. You can take a tour with a docent. If you want to volunteer, there's many volunteer opportunities there. And just, you know, get downtown Tucson. It's amazing how much downtown Tucson has changed in the last 5 years.
Absolutely.
And so we're getting people that are wandering in that never knew that our park was there. And if you come in, our little motto is Experience Tucson's History, and you can come into our park and see what was here before.
That's amazing. Anybody you want to say thank you to?
I want to thank all of our volunteers. Our group wouldn't exist without our great volunteers that come in and put in so many hours.
And you've got a wide open door for more volunteers.
Sure. We love volunteers.
That's great, because the Presidio, it probably works because of your people.
Sure. So you can, if you want to become a volunteer, you can come down to the park and leave your contact information, or you can go to our website, TucsonPresidio.org. I think there's phone numbers on there as well. And we take anybody.
And you guys have an outreach program to the schools as well?
Yes. We do the Friday at the Fort, the morning muster programs, the hat trunks.
Right.
And we also, if people want speakers, we can send out speakers to give talks to various events.
No kidding. What sure. type of what type of topics do you guys talk about at events?
We can talk about what life was like for a Spanish soldier at the fort. I do archaeology of the Tucson Presidio talks. And we have a woman that does storytelling that tells some of the stories of the fort.
You know, we were, unfortunately, he couldn't make it today because of a bit of a family issue, and we're praying for him. But a friend of the show, Jim Turner, who's our show historian,
oh, yeah.
was going to come on and tell some great historical stories of things that were happening at the Presidio. We'll save that for another show. But you guys will go out and you'll talk to Rotary clubs. You'll
sure.
talk to all kinds of folks.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, folks can get a hold of you guys by going to TucsonPresidio.org, or what's your phone number that you like folks to call?
Now you've got me. I don't have it memorized.
All right, well, folks, we'll have that on the Fred and Jeff Show website. And then finally, gosh, Homer, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
I mean, it was great having you on the show. Super success. We hope you guys have great success.
I hope
next
so
weekend.
Too.
Yeah. And folks, we also have a new giveaway this week. We've got our friends at NYPD, New York Pizza Department, that our friend Mike, who's giving us a $25 gift certificate to NYPD New York Pizza Department. So we're going to give that away to the first caller at 520-425-5104. That's 520-428-5104. Fred usually gives a phone number for the first person to call, $25 gift certificate. Tiana, thank you so much for hosting the show with me this weekend. You, as always, are fabulous.
Thank you.
And folks, we've run out of time, so get out there and meet your neighbors. Go to some of these amazing events. I mean, there's so many fun things that are going on in Tucson. Go out to some of these amazing events and meet your neighbors, because that's what makes Tucson a great place to live. And we'll see you next week. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.